season. Then when love runs high in this time, give it to me easy. And let me try with pleasured hands
to take you in this time to
promised lands,
to show you everyone.
What's your name? Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy? He rich.
Is he rich like me? Has he taken
any time to show
you what you need to live?
Tell it to me slowly.
Tell you why
I really want to know. It's the time of the season for love.
To talk with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And you this time, we're going to open up the phone lines, give you an opportunity to talk with an animal communicator, Bonnie Norton, about Keiko or animals in general. And we shall be right back on Coast to Coast AM. Bonnie Norton is our guest right here on Coast to Coast AM, and I'm George Norrie. Bonnie, by being able to communicate with animals, what does that tell you about the universe? Is there something there that you didn't expect a long time ago?
Well, I certainly didn't expect that this was possible when I was growing up and for most of my life until just a few years ago. And to me, it does make a difference to realize how much more there are to these animals and that they're way more beneficial in our lives than we maybe give them credit for.
Do you believe that an animal is a little more receptive than some people for communication like that?
Much more so. In fact, people often ask me, well, can you read my mind? And people are much more protected and closed off mentally than the animals are. The animals are much more willing to communicate with us in that way.
A lot of people block themselves for some
reason.
Exactly. Animals probably don't even know how to.
No, they're just much more open and don't have things to hide.
I got to ask you this. What about insects? I mean, can you do that too?
Oh, yeah. In fact, there's a wonderful animal communicator that, I know you've mentioned insects before in the past.
Yes.
And I can email you a contact person that would be excellent to interview.
This person actually communicates with insects?
Yes, and she's written a book about it, and she's a wonderful speaker.
Well, I guess any living thing, then, the theory then would be that any living thing has an ability to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Fish?
Yep. Definitely.
What about the fish that are getting eaten by Keiko?
Well, oh, what a question. Thank you so much for asking that. Early on, I asked Keiko why he didn't eat live fish, because they kept trying to get him off the dead fish and where he would eat live fish so he could obviously survive in the wild. And he told me that he didn't want to kill them. And I thought, okay, I don't think I'm going to tell anyone about this because that's a little too weird. And so I never said anything about that to anyone. A couple years later, when I was working with Tyler, and Tyler was communicating with Keiko, and I was prompting Tyler with questions, I said, Tyler, ask Keiko how he feels about eating live fish. And Keiko said, He doesn't like eating fish. And he said, Keiko doesn't like hurting other things. A lot of fish are his friends. And to quote Keiko, they talk to me, I talk to them, we work things out together. And then I had Tyler ask him what he was eating before he moved to Iceland. And Keiko said, I've been eating fish. I didn't have too much of a problem with it because they're dead. And I said, Tyler, explain to Keiko that the fish were alive before they were killed for food. And Keiko told Tyler, yes, but their spirit has already left their body.
How about that?
So to me, it's a lot like people who go to the grocery store and buy meat already killed or animals already killed, but they're not going to go out and kill the cow or the chickens or whatever.
Did he ever talk about his life? I mean, was he happy? Was he lonely? Did he wish he had a female orca with him?
You know, he never told me anything about wanting other marine mammals as much as people. And he loved being with people. He was very happy at the aquarium. And he was even happy in Mexico. He was not happy with the environment. He knew that was not good. But he loved the people there, his trainers there. He loved the people at the Oregon Coast Aquarium. And then when they started disconnecting him from people in Iceland, and there were times that they didn't establish eye contact with him at all, they fed him through a tube at one time so that they basically were just trying to disconnect him from people. And Teresa Wagner had a very interesting communication with him while he was in Iceland. And he told her that he wanted to be touched. He missed being touched, and he didn't understand why they didn't touch him anymore. And Teresa explained to him that what they were trying to do. And Keiko said, I know. I hear them speak. I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to help me. I don't want to leave them. And then he explained to Teresa that when they were like supposed to not be establishing eye contact, mm-hmm. they were feeding him through a tube and all that. Keiko said, when there is more than one present, Keiko shows a picture of everyone being busy and what could be described as businesslike. Yet he says, quote, they really, really love me, and many times when one of them is alone with me, he or she looks at me, feels my love, and sends me their love. He shows that they open their hearts for him and show their love and affection for him. So it's like when everybody's around, then they're real businesslike and disconnecting from him. But once in a while, when he's alone with one of them, they share their love with him.
Do you ever talk about the state of this planet?
Oh, yeah. He in his first communication, he talked a lot about the planet and what I originally termed as Keiko's message to the world. And I read the first part of that earlier, but the rest of it is, he said, we would like man to understand that we all want to live in peace and be free from fear and pressure to survive. We want animals and man to love alike. There will always be differences, but those can be worked through in a peaceful way, without violence and war. Understanding and compassion are the answer to peace. If only man knew how much he is influencing everything on this earth, and that everything he does will leave an impact on all other living beings.
Smart animal.
Yeah, he's very aware about what's going on.
How come his fin was always flipped over?
You know, they always wanted to blame that on captivity.
Yeah.
And that he's exposed to the sun, not being in deep enough water, and always circling in the same direction. They did admit that when they started studying orcas out off the coast of Norway for those 4 years, that they did find other orcas with the floppy dorsal fin.
Okay, let's go to the phones. As promised, east of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast with Bonnie Norton. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Welcome in. Where are you calling from?
Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, Carol. Sir Bonnie, I have a question. Basically, I'm totally blind, and my daughter has a cat, female, Cinderella, calico or long-haired domestic. I need to find somebody to help me communicate with her. I need to tell her some things about me that would help her understand me. And I need to know what she's trying to tell me when she does some things.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you can do is, like I had said earlier, get real quiet and ask to connect with the animal. There are also books and tapes. Penelope Smith has a number of them, and if you just go on the Internet, you'll see a lot of animal communicators have ways to help you learn how to do this. And there are, like I said, communicators that teach workshops as well. But one thing that's really helpful for people to better understand their animals mm-hmm. is for us to not use the words no and don't. The animals' minds and our minds, children's minds, do not have a reference for no and don't. So if I tell my cat, don't jump on the bed, what mm-hmm. he hears is, jump on the bed.
Oh.
So, and George, you can do this too. Close your eyes for just a minute unless you're driving or operating heavy equipment. Everybody got their eyes closed?
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't think about sitting on the beach in Hawaii.
Why not?
And what message did I send you?
Well, you start thinking about the beach in Hawaii.
Right. So it's not only do we tell, when we use no and don't, not only do we tell the animal what we don't want, we don't tell them the behavior we do want.
Mm-hmm. Is that the same with a parent and a kid? When
exactly.
You say,
exactly.
Don't do that. They love to go do it.
Right. Yeah. Don't run out in the street. You know, don't eat too much. Everything is don't. And it takes a real effort to become aware of how much we talk like that and to change it and say what it is we do.
Tell me
want.
A little bit about these tapes for the caller, because she's blind.
I think the cat doesn't like me because I'm blind, and I have another issue, too. I think the cat don't like me.
What do you mean doesn't like you? Who wouldn't like you?
Huh?
Who wouldn't like you? What's wrong?
Well, she'll come up to me and put her paws on me, and then I reach down to pet her, and she'll take off. And then a minute later, come up, put her paws on me, and then take off. And she doesn't like anyone to hold her unless they're laying down flat on their sides or on their backs.
The cat or the person?
The cat.
I don't know.
Yeah, I would be really surprised if the cat didn't like you. My guess it would be more some of her past history. The reason is she's acting the way that she is.
But there are some audio tapes available to some.
Right, audio tapes and books and workshops. So there's lots of ways to go about learning how to do this.
Great. Thanks for the call. Good luck. Appreciate that. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, George. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. I'm going to be 60 this year, and I'm ashamed of myself. When I was 13, I proved that I could mentally telepath to a dog 350 yards away to cross traffic without getting hit. I was inside the back of a warehouse, and he was completely across the street, busy traffic, and coaxed him because I was thinking, here, boy, come here, I got something good for you.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and the dog kept coming, and my father was out in the parking lot sweeping up, and he's chasing the dog with a broom, and I said, don't pay attention to him. Come on in. So I know to myself, I proved it without a reasonable doubt that that can be done, and now I'm ashamed when I hear about two-way communication. I never knew such a thing.
Yeah.
Now, you were a believer then. Did that stay with you?
Well, I figured because I was 13 and my hormones and that was the only reason it worked, because I tried it a couple other times and it didn't work, and I never told anybody.
How receptive, Bonnie, does the animal have to be?
They have to be willing to communicate with you as well. I know people sometimes refer to animal communicators as pet psychics, and personally, to me that creates the image of I can just read an animal's mind whenever I want, when in reality I need that animal's cooperation. They need to be willing to communicate with me and not maybe be preoccupied with something else at the time even.
Hey.
But he brings out a good point too, George, where so many times people have come up to me and said, you know, I've never told anyone this before, but my dog said this or my horse said this. And it's like coming out of the closet, and people feel safe to tell me about their stories where they haven't talked about it before. And that's one of the things that I'm hoping will really happen with this Keiko story, that it'll bring it out into the open where people will talk about it. And I've had so many people tell me stories like that I've started collecting them. I've asked them to write them out because I think it'll make a wonderful book to have a collection of all these different communications by people that are not necessarily professional communicators or have any real hardcore experience with it, but just to prove that this is a reality, this works.
Well, and I guarantee you, Bonnie, every person who has owned an animal, maybe even a little fish in a small little mm-hmm. aquarium, has stared at it thinking they could communicate with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I told you my stories, I think everybody has done that, whether they are small little kids or grown adults. I think a lot of people have tried to use their mind to get their animal's attention.
Right.
Some of it works, some of it doesn't.
It's also interesting to note how often people do make the connection or do get the message, And then they'll say, well, I must have been reading his body language or his facial expressions instead of giving the animal credit for sending us that information and thanking them for it. And that will encourage more two-way communication instead of saying, well, it wasn't you anyway. It was just me reading your body language.
Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Hi. This is Jem from Emeryville, California.
Hi, Jem. Jem from Emeryville. I like that.
I've always had, for want of a better way to describe it, bird omens.
Bird omens. What is that?
Well, I'll see a certain bird or dream about a certain bird before someone dies. And recently I've had a real positive thing with going with flocks of geese that when I'm really depressed, they'll fly overhead and they'll honk to each other, and it's real comforting to me. So that's why today I was really upset. It's amazing that you're on tonight, because I was just lying in bed this morning and I heard kind of this little explosion down the street, and all the electricity went off, and it was off, you know, everywhere on the street. And I found out much later in the day that a flock of geese had been flying overhead too low, and one of them had hit the transformer.
Oh, no.
And died, you know, and caused the explosion. And I'm thinking, that's not a very good omen when, you know, I don't know if it's connected to me and my life at all, but they've, flying over my house, geese, has always been a really positive thing for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's almost like they're saying, you know, something bad's going to happen to you, or things aren't going
well.
Yeah,
I wouldn't worry about that. It was just a mishap from one of those who didn't know where he was going.
Yeah, and the more you put that negative energy into it, the more you'll create that to happen.
Because, I mean, two very, very strange birds that no one could identify landed in a tree outside my house a few months ago. They had, the next-door neighbors were astounded. They had the heads of an owl, but as small as the head of a hawk. Only, and the heads were green.
Weird.
And after that, my friend got really, really sick and almost died. And I had a real eerie feeling about those birds, you know. So that's why I say omen, you know. I don't know, maybe I'm being too Twilight
superstitious,
Zone.
Maybe? No, you can't be too Twilight Zone. That's our favorite show.
Not on this show.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, thanks for the call. Is it possible that an animal is evil and will do evil things with its thoughts?
That's something I haven't encountered at all, and I haven't heard of either, George.
Go ahead, finish.
I was going to say, I suppose anything's possible. I just personally haven't experienced it.
Is there any research that shows that animals can communicate with each other via telepathy?
Mm.
I haven't heard of any. I'm sure there's got to be
think
something.
What Rupert Sheldrake has done, but I don't know about with another animal as much as animal to people.
Well, it would be interesting.
Yeah, not that I'm familiar with.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Well, hello, George.
Yes, sir.
I have a theory
to
present to Bonnie. And it concerns our very purpose, why we are here, why we were created, our duty in a spiritual sense. And I believe that not only are we to expand our consciousness, to come to understand and to know what is right, but our duty is to help others, and I'm talking about other species. My particular one I'm saying is the dog. I'm saying we are spiritually bonded to the dog. Actually, as humans, we created that species. They are dependent on us, but we have a duty not only just to not abuse them and to feed them and to love them, but we have a duty to help expand their consciousness, to make them better than they are as an evolutionary and in a spiritual sense. That's my theory for Bonnie.
What do you think, Bonnie?
Well, I think they are so much more, I think they have more to give us than as far as expanding consciousness. I mean, they have so many things licked that we don't, as in patience and forgiveness and loyalty.
And innocence.
And unconditional love, playfulness in the moment, all these qualities that we strive for and not too many of us seem to make like the animals do. So they are great teachers for us. And I think you are right, though, as far as respecting the animals in a much more positive way. I did get an email from one of your listeners, George, who asked if I would bring up the idea of vegetarians. And I will say that the day after that workshop, when I talked to my dog Happy, I suddenly have not eaten any meat since.
Really?
And I had pet chickens and ducks and rabbit and sheep when I was a kid. And I remember my neighbor who slaughtered his cow. I couldn't believe it. And I went up one day and I said, "Where's Mikey?" And my neighbor proudly walked over to his freezer and opened up the freezer.
Mikey's hamburger.
And he goes, "Here's Mikey."
Yeah.
And so I asked my mother, and I said, "Well, you know, we wouldn't kill our animals, would we?" And she said, no, we just eat meat that we get at the store. We don't kill our own animals." And yet, so I knew that these animals all have their own personality. They were my pets. But I never gave another thought to eating chicken at the store.
Well,
you know?
See, I'll eat chicken. I won't eat the meat. Because unless it's organic, because of the possibility of mad cow disease. I'm not happy with what the FDA and the Agriculture Department have been doing about this. Stay with us. More of your phone calls with our guest, Bonnie Norton, on Coast to Coast AM.
The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And we'll be back with our guest, Bonnie Norton. We'll take your phone calls. Next hour, I'm going to open up the phone lines. We'll have open lines. I want to chat with you about some very strange, unusual animal stories you might want to share with us, including the one, of course, the dog that saved its family from a burning fire. They were all asleep. He woke up and got them all out of the house. What do you think about that? Tell me that wasn't a hero, a smart dog as well. After dark, here's the CD for you again. Those of you who need that toll-free number where you get a double CD of ghost stories, bumper music, and classic calls to the show, 800-598-2331. That's 800-598-2331 or afterdarkcd.com. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie along with Bonnie Norton for the rest of this hour. And then I'll have open lines next hour for you, and we'll talk about some very strange and really some unusual animal stories, and we'll take your calls as well. Bonnie, how do you get the book, by the way?
The book is available on my website, keikospeaks.com, and you can also call toll-free 877 4KEIKO2. That's 4KEIKO2. And if people would go to the order form, and then there's a place that says, before you proceed, please click here. And to be sure you get a copy of it, if they could add their contact email to our mail list, because I'm afraid we aren't going to have enough copies and we're going to go to a second printing right away. And this way people would be notified when the second copy is available.
Yeah, indeed. You've got some pictures in here, right?
Oh, yeah. There are 13 photographs of Keiko and his trip to Iceland, and there's some really wonderful pictures.
Any favorites?
Actually, the one on the very end where he's looking up at... He's just kind of looking up at the camera with his mouth open. He almost looks like he's smiling.
Oh, that one where he says, I'm not a whale, a wild whale. I'm Keiko.
Right. Right.
Hate to fall in there, though, let me tell you. Look at those teeth.
Yeah.
Look
but
how
as far
shiny
as I know, he never hurt anyone or did anything, you know, harmful at all.
Did you ever pet him?
No. They wouldn't let people come in contact with him except in very special circumstances.
How long is he?
Pardon me?
How long was he? 30 feet?
26 feet.
Yeah. Shiny, too. But you're right, they look like big dolphins.
Right.
I always loved that color scheme, too, that black and white with them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're neat.
Yeah, they're pretty impressive.
Look,
can I make
like
a comment with
seal.
The last caller there, as far as the purpose of the animals and spirituality? I think that really touches on the reason that one of the reasons that I wrote the book is to increase human awareness about how aware and intelligent the animals are, and that it's possible for us to communicate with them, so that hopefully we will be more willing to listen to them and honor them as individuals. And I think in the same way as he was implying that, you know, there's really more to learn from these animals than instead of looking down on them, let's look up to them.
Okay, let's go back to the calls. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi there.
Yeah.
Hi, George and Bonnie.
Hi. Hello.
This is Karen from Indiana, and I'm a wildlife rehabilitator. Which means I take care of injured and orphan wildlife and get them ready to go back out in the wild. And I had watched Sonia Fitzpatrick on Animal Planet doing some of her work. And so I thought, well, maybe I could use it. She's got some tips on their website. And so I started playing around with it and started getting results. And I'm like, okay, this is, I always thought it was, you know, when you're little, you play around and did things, and I get the same feeling. If the animal wants to be free, it needs to be free. But I have animals that cannot go out in the wild because they're permanently disabled.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be wiped out in a second. You know, they have wings that are totally immobilized on one side, and so I have a woodpecker that lives with me permanently besides a few other animals, and I take him out and do programs for schools and things. And I've asked him, I said, is it okay that you're living here with me? He goes, I was sent to live with you.
Yep.
And,
exactly.
And at first when he came in, he was very, very sick. And I have a rehabilitator friend that has a friend of tribe of Indians in Canada that's called it, they're a woodpecker clan, and they prayed for his spirit, and I mean they thought he was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
He came around and he said it was just the whole trauma of the initial thing, but he actually will speak to other birds that I have come in that are like so upset for being that I can't get through to them. And I will ask him, can you settle them down because they won't listen to me because I'm not that developed yet, my ability, or I guess I'm not that sure of it yet. And I've actually asked him that, and he would start audibly speaking in woodpecker to a different woodpecker, not even the same species, and calm this bird down. And I thought this bird was going to kill himself.
Wow. There's so many amazing stories that it's such a wonderful thing to be aware of. And so many people are getting messages or communications from their animals and just don't realize that's what it is.
Have you ever had reports of people getting telepathic communications from Sasquatch, Bigfoot?
I haven't heard any of those. I would think some people have, but I haven't heard of any.
You heard about the parrot story where a couple thugs broke into a house? There was a parrot in there.
Yeah.
And the parrot went, get down, I'll shoot. And and so they did, and they stayed there until the owner came in.
Yeah,
and
that was
just
a great
the bird
one.
There. That was an incredible story.
Yeah, that. Yeah, I did hear that. That's amazing.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, George.
Good morning.
This is Andy in Dallas, Texas. I got a
Hi, Andy.
Couple questions and a show idea.
Sure thing.
Okay, one of that is Bonnie. How long, well, this may be for Friday's show, so I'm going to tune in and listen. How long do you think before somebody's going to invent something that we can actually hear it audibly what our animals are thinking?
Like some kind of machine.
They just recently come out with some sort of thing that was supposed to interpret what your dog was trying to bark or something? But to me, I mean, this is on such a much deeper level. And, you know, we all have the ability. We're born with it, but we shut it down as young children. And it's just a matter of getting back in touch with it. And I would think that that's going to be a much truer form of communication than anything an instrument's going to kind of try to translate for you.
Cool. And do you possibly think that our pets were sent here as, say, like a guardian angel?
Yeah. I mean, they look, they watch over us. They are here to help us and heal us, just like the woman that was just on. That bird came to be with her. Keiko came to be with people. That was his purpose, and that's why it was so devastating that he was taken from them and, you know, basically isolated from people the rest of his life. And I believe, along with many other people, that he basically died of a broken heart. So, yeah, they come to us with lots of qualities and lots of teachings. And we need to really acknowledge what they have to offer us.
Cool, yeah. Because the reason why I was asking, I grew up with a German Shepherd and Park Doberman. And as me and my brother was growing up, we would throw rocks in the pool. And, of course, the apartment manager would get on us. And our dog, King, he would jump down from the second-story window just to protect us. And, you know, he was always just a protector. And he died at age 18, which totally blew the bed away that he even lasted that long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's old for a shepherd.
Yeah, and my current one, my lab, Rowdy, did an SPCA rescue, and I've got him trained for if he wants out, he could lick my feet. And then he's associated that, then if he wants, like, a treat, then many mornings or nights when I wake up, he's, like, staring at me. So I'm like, okay, do you want a Scooby snack? And he'd start running towards his snacks and stuff, and I really think that he was sent here, you know, as my protector, and that's what he's been doing. He sleeps right next to me and, you know, alerts me to anything. And mm-hmm. I feel that if there was something to go on, that he's always letting me know. If there's, especially with my stepmom, there was a cat in our backyard, you know, just the other night, and he grabbed her hand and walked to it and showed the cat that was in our backyard.
Hmm. What they do so many amazing things. They're just incredible.
What do you think, Bonnie, of people who hurt, maim animals?
That's just the hardest thing, George. I can't imagine how people can do that. And I have to admit, you know, I grew up, you asked earlier about insects. I grew up, spider on the wall, grab something, smash him and scream and, ah, that's it. Now, because I have a different value and a different, whole different concept of what these beings are and a respect for all life, I'll go take a cup, put a cardboard underneath it, and put him in a cup, take him outside, and mentally say, stay outside in nature, and, you know, please stay out of my house and stay outside in nature, and I throw him outside. I feel so good in my heart when I do that. Well, you watch somebody squish a bug or an ant or, you know, a spider.
Or a fly, and I've done that.
And look at, just notice the person's demeanor. They're angry, it's negative energy, big time. And where do we really want to be? Or do we want to be in our heart and give life back to this animal or creature that we just injured or killed?
I don't think mosquitoes, though, are normal. There's something wrong with them.
You really want to talk to Joanne, because she's got a whole theory about that. I don't know.
Oh, don't tell me she likes mosquitoes.
She has a whole theory about how all this works. And I remember her saying, and I forgive me, Joanne, if this is not a correct quote, but from what I remember her telling me, that one of the things that we're here to learn about is getting along with these insects and to not use the pesticides and insecticides and stuff that are harmful to them, but to work with them instead of fighting them.
I'm going to do a quick poll here, Bonnie, before you're off with me.
Okay.
I will ask people if we should smash mosquitoes or not.
And mosquitoes are a hard one because they carry a lot of diseases.
I'm going to bet that it will be overwhelming that people want mosquitoes smashed. Okay, Fast Blast is open. Smash them or not, just for mosquitoes now. We're not talking about ladybugs or anything like that. Just mosquitoes. And I'll have the answer for you in 5 minutes.
Okay.
That's
a really hard one. You have to tickle Joanne on that one.
Next up, let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Bonnie.
Hi.
You lightly talked about Bigfoot. Actually, I was interested in the Chumagandas and also the Bigfoots, and also you said that some are receptive and some aren't. Could you speak to the animals around them, find out, are they here for a good deed or a bad deed? Or could that possibly be set up where we could also get another reader to speak to the animals? If they're not receptive enough, the other animals have to have contact with them. They're living in their house.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine we'd be able to speak to the other animals, find out if they're here for good or bad.
Good question.
Or can we possibly satisfy them so they could leave if they're not good here for good intentions.
Get the inside information.
Correct.
Huh?
Yeah. That's an interesting thought.
Hey, what about the sixth sense of animals, like those in that tsunami, where they felt things and they took off way before the waves hit the islands? Why are they able to do that?
Well, to tell you the truth, I checked with Penelope Smith on that as well. And again, because my focus has been with individual animals, where sometimes people like Penelope Smith, who's known worldwide, will often communicate with a whole species of animals. And she did say that the whales were in contact with her after the December 26 earthquake and tsunami, and they communicated that they were aware of the earth shifting for weeks. A number of them tried to warn humans. A few days before the earthquake, as the energies intensified, they gathered their clans, and most of them moved far from the shores. So they're just super sensitive to the earth and what's going on, and frequencies and vibrations and things that we're tuned out.
98% say smash the mosquitoes.
How about spiders? Let's do spiders real quick.
If we have time. Okay, spiders now, everybody. Spiders.
Yeah. And again, think about how you feel and when you watch somebody kill a spider versus if you...
I think spiders will fall in the same category as mosquitoes.
Well, we got to increase awareness here, George. And
somebody says, George, did you know that only the female mosquitoes bite? Why are we smashing the males?
Thank you. Thank you, Fast Blaster.
Did not know that. But who, you can't tell the difference. I mean, not going to look at a mosquito, so smash them all. But spiders, I don't like spiders.
Well, you can be friends with them, and it's a whole different sense. Sometimes just catch one and throw it outside and notice how you feel compared to how you feel when you smash it.
Then you have some real nice ones from people that say don't kill God's insects.
Right.
Unless you are protecting yourself or your family. Simple like that.
Yep.
Smash, save the spiders, smash the spiders. I'll have it before you're off. Next up, first time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm Irma from Orcas Island in Washington State.
Irma from Orcas Island?
Yep.
Hi, Irma from Orcas Island. Go ahead.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
I had a question, and I wanted to tell you about an experience I had with a coyote. My question was... how I might find information about communicating with the animals. If you know of any books or have you written anything about the actual process?
I haven't written about it, but Penelope Smith has a wonderful website, animaltalk.net, and she lists lots of communicators, and she has her books and tapes available and other links to lots of other animal communicators that she has either personal experience with or have in some way had testimonials that validate their work. So that's a real good website.
That sounds good then. A few years ago, we lived on acreage in a pastoral area. We had 5 acres. And in the summer, one day, I saw a coyote out in our property, and I actually had seen him a couple of times when I was in my car leaving the house, and I would see him across the field, and he'd stop and look at me. And then one night, I was sitting in the dark on the deck, and I suddenly felt more than saw something, and turned, and he was he had come up on the deck, and neither one of us were aware of each other until just that moment. Then he took off, and I just thought it was a big dog at that point. Later, I realized it was this coyote.
Mm-hmm.
So a few days later, I was on the back deck. It was daytime, and I was sitting with the cats and reading when I saw him come up from the woods and out onto the property, not too far from where I was. And when he saw me, he was probably about 50 feet away from me, the young coyote. He stopped and looked at me. And I said to him, we had three cats that were outdoor cats. And so I said to him, if you want to live on our property, you're welcome, as long as you respect the life on our property. You can stay here as long as you like. And the whole time I was talking to him, he just looked at me, and I knew he was understanding me. And I felt this agreement between us.
Mm-hmm.
He probably wanted to say, so what happens beyond your property?
Well,
it's all mine.
As soon as I finished talking, he went off into the next field, and he would go hunting in the fields around us, which was all pretty pastoral, you know, and then come back and sleep on our property. When I thought about it later, I thought it was kind of strange because they usually are in packs, you know.
Right. Did he ever harm your animals?
No. My cats were... Well, the neighbor, I have to tell you this, the neighbor...
Well, I'm not going to have time, so he never did harm him, though.
No, he never harmed any of the cats, and whenever he came around, they were perfectly relaxed.
Well, how about that? How about that? Bonnie, the name of the book, of course, is Keiko Speaks, or Keiko Speaks, available on...
KeikoSpeaks.com.
And the toll-free number again as well?
Is 877-4-KEIKO-2.
All right, very good. Thanks, Bonnie. Appreciate you being on the program.
Thank you so much, George.
Now, when I come back, it'll be open lines. I want to hear from you with your very strange and unusual animal stories, whether it's been out in the wild or the cat paws that you see when there is no cat. Hit me with your best shot. I'll be right back.
Find out more about tonight's guest. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.